The Money Show.
The Markets.
Well, it is Women's Day in South Africa, and of course, the JSE marking the holiday. So those offices were quite closed. No trading on the JSE today. But of course, money still moving hands elsewhere around the world. European markets were slightly lower today as focus in global markets turns to key US inflation print that's coming out on Wednesday. Investors are trying to assess the potential pace of interest rates in the world's largest economy, with inflation expected to remain at a 40-year high. Of course, US markets also opened in weak territory because of that inflation number, or ahead of it rather. The Nasdaq, which trades technology shares, was down more than 1%. The likes of Amazon down more than 1.5%, with chip maker Nvidia also losing some 4% as well. We're joined now by Richard de Villiers, who's the global wealth manager at UBS Financial Services. Richard, let's just start now in the US and ahead of that US inflation number. The market starting off on a weak note. Is that, investors telling us that they expect the inflation number to still be around that 40-year high?
Yeah, Natalia, thank you very much for having me on the show, and happy Women's Day to everyone back home in South Africa. Hope everyone is as well. The market is very, very thinly traded at the moment. NASDAQ, as you mentioned, down probably the most out of the female indices, given the very weaker than expected revenue guidance from the chip makers. This again raised that red flag around supply chain issues that have plagued the market in the last kind of 3 to 6 months. I do think that, the stock markets have rallied pretty well in July, rising over 9% in the S&P 500, but there's still a lot going on that is concerning and creating volatility. The ongoing war, stubbornly high inflation, policy uncertainty, these flare-ups are bound to bring heightened volatility, as you'll see. As far as the Wednesday's report for the inflation, like you said, it's a very, very pivotal point for the market. A lot of expectations are for the CPI to rise about 0.2% month over month, and for core CPI to rise about 0.5%. This would show a slowdown from the increases that we've had in June, which are 1.3% and 0.7% respectively.
There's a lot to look at, of course, from today's trade. On the data front, the UK retail sales rising to 1.6% in July. We do know that market is under strain economically. Is this a good sign for the UK economy?
Yeah, look, the economic backdrop for the UK is challenging. Consumer prices rise their fastest pace in 40 years, 9.4% in June. The economy does risk of recession. But if we look at the drivers of the FTSE 100, the UK index, those are much more international. FTSE 100 companies generate around 75% of their revenues outside of the UK, which means the market within the UK is less sensitive to domestic growth concerns. Risks to global growth, of course, have risen. Incoming data, strong US jobs growth, higher US services reports, and robust Chinese growth suggest that global activity, even though it's slow, it's holding up. What's also interesting about the UK market is it has a high exposure to value, commodity, and defensive sectors. With higher real rates, sharp rises in commodity prices, especially oil, have really contributed to the FTSE 100's outperformance this year. We are actually quite optimistic and quite bullish on the UK. There's very strong earnings, attractive valuations. We expect the UK to deliver one of the highest earnings growth rates of about 12% this year. Weaker pound has also provided a further boost to earnings, as 3/4 of the sales are overseas, a large share in US dollars. So yeah, we continue to rate the UK up. It's actually our most preferred sector, and we see a modest 4% upside with a target of the FTSE at about 7,700 by the end of 2022. We're telling our investors to have a broad-based exposure to UK equity markets.
And Asia-Pacific markets were a bit mixed today. The Nikkei in Japan dropping close to 1%, of course, still reeling after SoftBank said it released all their shares in Uber, and also falling 4% as it dropped its profit projections. Are we likely to see a weaker ending for Asia-Pacific markets towards the end of the week?
Look, I think in our view is that Asia markets are trending along kind of the emerging markets tail. If you analyze the economies that make up the lion's share of the emerging market GDP and asset class benchmarks, we actually believe that the majority of the countries are very well positioned. With a very healthy external accounts, most of the country's current account position matters a great deal when global financing conditions are scarce. So, a lot of emerging markets are well positioned in there, South Africa included. What's also interesting about emerging markets is there's manageable short-term external financing needs. So because of their deeper domestic capital markets, emerging market sovereigns have been able to satisfy much of their financing needs in local currency in recent years. We are a little bit concerned about external debt that some of the corporations have, and that can be a continued source of fragility. What's also interesting is that there is an advanced tightening cycles and mostly independent central banks within emerging markets. So monetary and currencies policy in emerging markets have historically suffered from political interference. But today's approach is a far cry from this era. We're seeing some very, very positive emerging market central banks tightening policy rates well ahead of the Fed, making sure that they are on top of things. So for those reasons, we actually, we quite like the investments in Asia. Asia appears to be a very resilient source for global liquidity and something that the investors should certainly consider within the portfolio.
Let's bring it home a little bit. I mean, I saw commodity prices etching up higher a little bit today, with gold at $1,796 an ounce and platinum also going up a bit. Are we going to see mining shares on Wednesday on the JSE, shooting up and probably pushing up the local market?
I think so. I do believe that the South African rand and South African economy has these tremendous commodity windfalls, which have led to some relaxation on the fiscal side. The energy sector within South Africa continues to point in the right direction, but there are clouds for global growth. The gathering clouds for global growth issues is bad news for rand upside, especially. If we look at South African global conditions as a key driver for South African rand and South African economy, monetary policy tightening is weighing on economic activity. Inflation dynamics aren't yet allowing a clear shift to less hawkish policy stances. The issue in China around the strike by the home buyers has also raised pressure on the property sector. We tend to see that this gradual recovery in the Chinese economy could potentially benefit the rand. South Africa has a very, very strong external balance. South Africa's current account balance will likely see another large surplus this year due to high commodity prices. It's important that, given that there is a very positive external balance, that the lawmakers and people that make the right decisions to use those funds correctly and wisely and to the right things to spur economic growth.
All right. Thank you. Global wealth manager at UBS Financial. That is Richard de Villiers, breaking down the markets there. Of course, that inflation number from the US coming through on Wednesday. US inflation currently at 9.1% at a 40-year high. And of course, that inflation number will determine whether the US Fed will keep aggressively raising interest rates, something that has hit markets and also caused an economic downturn globally. So we'll be keeping a keen eye on that as well.